Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times that was published the week of Sunday, June 14th. I'm reading Thursday, June 18th. I'll begin with the most recent articles, and as we continue reading, we'll work our way back further into the week. June 18th, San Angelo and Tom Green County report 20 new positive cases of COVID-19 from staff reports. Testing for the coronavirus in Tom Green County began February 29th. This article will be updated daily with information provided by the San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department via the City of San Angelo and state information from the Texas Department of State Health Services. Tom Green County, as of 1:50 p.m. June 18th, 214 positive cases reported, 20 new positive cases, 82 patients being monitored, 1 death, 2 currently hospitalized. Registered sex offender in San Angelo arrested on child pornography charges by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man and registered child sex offender was arrested Tuesday after special agents found numerous images of child pornography on 5 devices, according to an arrest affidavit. On May 1st, a special agent with the Texas Department of Public Services received a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The tip concerned a man downloading child pornography, according to the affidavit. The agent located the man, who had been convicted of attempted indecency with a Huntsville child in 2009, living in San Angelo. Investigators found 5 cell phones with inappropriate videos and photos of children, records state. The man told investigators he did download and view the numerous images and videos, according to the affidavit. Benjamin Martinez, 50, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of possession of child pornography. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $25,000 bond as of 10:30 a.m. Thursday. The Texas Public Sex Offender Registry lists that the 2009 Huntsville case involved a 10-year-old child. Martinez was sentenced to serve 8 years probation. He is listed as a moderate risk level, according to the registry. San Angelo City Council approves return of summer festival at Lake Nasworthy by Elena Edgen. A summer festival at Lake Nasworthy was approved to return Tuesday by the San Angelo City Council, with some possible restrictions due to coronavirus concerns. The Beers, Bands, and Barbecue Bazaar, an event hosted by 4R Broadcasting, will be held at Spring Creek Marina on July 24th and 25th. The event will support Peaceful Valley Donkey Rescue. Last year's event included 2 nights of live music, barbecue cook-offs, and other events. No information has been released yet about the details of this year's festival. We want to have a great event. At the same time, we want to encourage safety protocols, said Chris Ling, event applicant. An hour prior to this agenda item, the City Council discussed the importance of social responsibility as coronavirus cases rose. Billy DeWitt, council member for District 6, voiced her concerns about the event's potential for spreading the virus. With our positive cases going up, is this really something we should be doing at this time? DeWitt said. It just seems like that's not feasible, that you could control a crowd, keep masks on, and keep social discipline going on. That's just going to further enhance community spread and our number of positive cases. I just think it may shoot us out of the water. Ling answered with the steps the event staff planned to take to ensure people would be safe. The steps include temperature checks of all guests before entry, limiting 1,000 people in at a time. Staff will encourage separation and social spacing. Festival area would be enclosed, so there would be only 1 point of entry. Hand sanitation stations throughout the grounds. Ling also said they would consider requiring guests to wear masks. Private companies can require this, while the city cannot, due to Governor Abbott's ruling that cities cannot have stricter orders than his decrees. Tommy Hebert, District 1 council member, made a motion to approve the event, which passed with a 6-0 vote. San Angelo ISD School Board approves increase in meal prices, by Rosanna Aguilera. The San Angelo ISD School Board on Monday approved raising meal prices for the first time since 2014 due to COVID-19 diminishing the Child Nutrition Fund balance. The administration recommended increasing meal prices by 25 cents for paid student and adult lunches for the 2020-2021 school year. Though schools were shut down in mid-March due to the coronavirus pandemic, SAISD's food service team still served over 125,000 meals to children since March 17th, said Child Nutrition Director Michelle Helms. This price increase will allow Child Nutrition to continue to provide meals to our students, stated the agenda item. With the item being approved, elementary school lunches will go from $2.50 to $2.75. The secondary lunch price will go from $2.75 to $3, and the adult lunches will now be $4. Prices charged for reduced meals will not change as they are set at the maximum allowable federal rates. Reduced lunches will remain at 40 cents. A free breakfast will continue to be made available at no cost to all SAISD students, according to the item documents. It is necessary to raise meal prices to continue to offer free breakfast at all sites and to cover staff salaries and food costs, stated the agenda item. Helm said the federal reimbursement is $3.43 for meals. Even though we are increasing it, we are not leveled. But we don't worry about being leveled when we have a fund balance, she said. Helms said since they switched to curbside, they haven't been able to offer a la carte items, including selling cookies for 25 cents. Those make us some money, and none of that has been happening, Helms said. A public comment was made asking if the price increase will be permanent. I think we would make that decision based on the condition of our fund balance at that time, San Angelo ISD Board President Lanny Lehman said. Despite rise in coronavirus cases, City of San Angelo can't issue stay-at-home order, by Elena Edgen. After 15 new cases of coronavirus were reported in Tom Green County on Monday, the San Angelo City Council discussed the spike and what people could do during its Tuesday meeting. On Tuesday, June 16th, Mayor Brenda Guenther addressed the city during the meeting about the rise in coronavirus cases. Since Memorial Day, the city has had 70 positive cases, she said. The spike in cases should serve as a wake-up call to everyone in Tom Green County, Guenther said. The time to act is now. We need everyone to step up to help protect San Angelo and its surrounding areas. Though the spike in cases has caused concerns, the city cannot issue a stay-at-home order due to Governor Greg Abbott saying cities cannot be stricter than his executive orders. So this means that it is time for each and every citizen of San Angelo to step up and take personal responsibility and use social discipline, Guenther said. When the city was in a stay-at-home order in April, many citizens complained that our officials were abusing their authority and that citizens should be allowed to manage themselves. Well, now is the time for you to responsibly manage yourselves. Guenther also stated that having friends over at homes is an issue, as people would spend more time with guests in a confined space. The less time you spend around others, the less the risk you have of contracting COVID-19, she said. We realize it is summertime and everyone has been locked up in their homes for the last few months, but we must continue to be responsible and do our part to limit the spread of the disease. People should wear masks, wash hands, stay 6 feet apart, and continue to follow social distancing guidelines, she said. Business owners and their employees should also wear masks and take extra precautions. Citizens, I urge you to stay home and only leave for essential services such as work, groceries, and medical appointments, Guntner said. Self-isolation means no running errands, no meeting up, or driving around with friends. It means staying home and staying safe. We need everyone to do this to stop the spread and put an end to COVID-19. San Angelo residents weigh in on proposed name change for Lee Middle School by Rosanna Aguilera. Residents voiced their opinions about the proposed name change for Robert E. Lee Middle School at the San Angelo ISD School Board meeting Monday night. Public comments were made during the meeting June 15th about the middle school named after the commander of the Confederate Army. The issue was brought up amid nationwide protests against racial inequality. Lee Middle School, which is for students in grades 6 through 8, is located at 2500 Sherwood Way. The school's mascot is the Rebels. On June 4th, a petition appeared on change.org requesting SAISD to consider a new name for the school. As of 1 p.m. Tuesday, the petition in favor of the name change has 10,291 signatures, while a petition opposing it has 6,208. In Monday's meeting, 9 comments were made, 6 were in favor of the name change, and 3 were against it. Public comments made opposed of the name change. Roger Wallace said, "If you believe in something, then you need to say something about it." "I really enjoyed going to that school," Wallace said. "Our community is a great community. I hate to see something happen and change the history we have in this town." Billy Munguia, who made the online opposed petition, gave information as to why Robert E. Lee fought for the Confederacy. "His family was in Virginia, and Virginia was not going to secede," Munguia said. "They were voting 2-1 not to secede. Robert E. Lee was going to stay with the Union. Then Virginia flipped over, and it was 2-1 to secede. He wasn't going to go against his family. I wouldn't fight against my kids." Munguia said Lee didn't support slavery. "It's important that parents teach their kids the good and why he was for the Confederacy, and that's not what's happening here," she said. Munguia said if the name change is being considered, it's not the time to do so. "With the way 2020 has gone with the pandemic and people losing their jobs, it's the wrong time to throw this at people," she said. "Our community is hurting. Changing a school is not cheap. I don't know if anyone has thought of that." Finally, she said if the name is changed, then it should be after a street name or something generic. "The name should have nothing to do with anyone, so no one can be offended," Munguia said. "I don't come from a racial position. My concern is the time of this because of what has been going on," Smith said. "The name of the middle school means look how far we have come, and we can acknowledge what we have overcome." Smith said she has never heard concern about the name of the school until recently. "The concern I have is that this seems to be an agenda from the outside," Smith said. "This will have a sweeping effect, which I do not think will bring unity. I think it will be further divisive. Smith said this can be the beginning of a conversation for San Angelo. "If there are racial issues, let's deal with them. But let's do it without all the outside influence," she said. "We can just sit down and try to come to an agreement." Comments made in favor of the name change. Sarah Hilgenberg came to the meeting asking that San Angelo be open to the idea of a name change of the school. "I'm coming to you as a fellow member of this community, and I ask that we solve this together, because people in our community are hurting," Hilgenberg said. Hilgenberg said the city should not cling to the past history, but rather create history as a community with this opportunity. "We have a strong, good history of rising together to support one another when there's a need," she said. Hilgenberg left the podium with a Maya Angelou quote, "Do your best until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." Ashley Rodriguez, Press and Public Relations Chair for the NAACP chapter at Angelo State University, said changing the name represents one of the chapter's core values, equality. The name Robert E. Lee does not represent that, Rodriguez said. Instead, he represents the oppression that the Confederacy fought so hard to uphold. Jesse Ramone, Jr., creator of the name change petition, gave his thoughts on people who have different opinions on the subject. I respect each and every person's opinion and decisions on the matter, which is why I'm glad we have individuals here to oppose this and make sure they have the same platform to express the opposition, Ramone said. Ramone said his concern is that the opposition is flawed by a century of attempted revisionism. The argument that I am erasing history is the most common position they have taken, he said. I can't speak for anyone else in this room, but I can recall the events that took place on 9/11. I have never relied on a public building named after Osama bin Laden to ensure my recollection of that day is preserved. Dr. Jason Pierce, chair of the ASU History Department, mentioned a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. saying, "We must never be satisfied so long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and deprived of their dignity by signs that say, 'For whites only.'" He stated that although there are no signs that say that at the school, he believes when the school was open in 1949, that's what naming it after Robert E. Lee meant. It was segregated. Blacks could not go through those doors, Pierce said. It changed 5 years later because of the Supreme Court said it had to change. Somehow we have kept the name all of these years when we no longer believe in the segregation that it represented at the time. Lana Primo said she agreed with the previous comments made to change the name of the school. Why should we let the name of a literal divider represent the inclusivity practiced at SAISD schools? Primo said. We can recognize our history, but also agree to make progress and remove the name from our school. San Angelo NAACP President Shirley Spears spoke on behalf of the organization. In today's current environment of racial unrest, it is our responsibility to pave a way for young minds to embrace the positive aspects of the building of our country and not honor those who work to destroy it, Spears said. In addition to supporting the name change of the school, Spears wanted to include changing of the school mascot from the rebels. We want our students to aspire to be competitive through thoughtful and strategic words, ways, and examples, she said. The current mascot further supports a discriminatory system and must be changed. San Angelo creates police working group to review department policies and prevent abuse, by Elena Edgen. The mayor announced the formation of a police working group in the wake of nationwide protests decrying abuses by law enforcement. The announcement came after a public comment during the San Angelo City Council meeting Tuesday, June 16th. During public comments, a resident raised concerns over a social media post by San Angelo Police Chief Frank Carter. In the comments of a May 31st post shared on the San Angelo Police Department's Facebook page, Carter replied to someone asking about the legality of running over people blocking in the street, acknowledging, "If my life was in jeopardy or serious bodily injury by the persons blocking the road and I had no other alternative, I would run them over." That comment was screenshot and shared across various groups on Facebook. In the same post, the chief supported residents' First Amendment rights to peacefully protest and encouraged open dialogue, asking people with questions to reach out to his office. "As officers, we know we have bad employees in our profession. There are bad employees in all professions. It's our job to recognize those employees and have them removed. Good officers don't condone bad behavior," Carter wrote. Mayor Brenda Guntner said Tuesday the city council was forming the police working group to review police policies and practices to prevent abuse. We must be a community that sets a standard for how communities and police can work together side by side and address social injustice and at the same time keep the community safe, Guntner said. We believe Carter and his staff have done a great job of representing the citizens of this community. But because of the issues that have happened across the country, I think that we would be wrong if we did not also look at the issues that exist. The group also aims to inform people how police work and how to better the police-community relationship. We believe that the more the community participates in the understanding of the policies, the more we can determine if reform is necessary, Guntner said. We hope the time and effort this group spends on better understanding our police department, that we will have the opportunity to address potential issues that could, in fact, undermine citizens' ability to seek justice. Members of the group include the police chief, city attorney Teresa James, and Councilwoman Billy DeWitt of District 6, and Lucy Gonzalez of District 4. Those members will recommend 10 people from the community to join the group. People interested in joining the group can email info@cosatx.us and should include their district in the email. Check out the city website to see which district you are in. COVID-19 drive-through testing center moves to new location in San Angelo, by Elena Edgen. The San Angelo COVID-19 drive-through screening and testing center will move to a new location with more space on Thursday, June 18th, according to Shannon Medical Center. The testing site will be at 110 East Twig Street and be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. all week. The new location will have more space for vehicles, according to the release. How to get a COVID-19 test. For people who use the drive-through, people can drive up and be evaluated by a medical provider. If the provider suspects someone has coronavirus, the person will be tested on site. People will be placed on self-quarantine while awaiting results. The drive-through screenings and tests are free. Staff working the site will collect patients' contact and insurance information. For more information on screening or testing, people can call 844-674-2666. People can also get a free screening online through Shannon On Demand. For more information, visit shannonhealth.com. Enjoy a Wild West shootout for Father's Day weekend at the Cristoval Vineyards, by Rosanna Aguilera. Looking for something to do with Dad this Father's Day? A Wild West shootout reenactment will be held at the Cristoval Vineyards as part of a Father's Day Friday event. On Friday, June 19th, the Vineyards are featuring the Concho Cowboy Company for the night's entertainment at 5000 A Crowley Road. Specializing in the portrayal of historical and fictional characters and events, we bring a level of accuracy and realism to our performances that is rarely found today, states the nonprofit's website. You can expect fast action, high drama, and a glimpse into the wild old West. There will be a dinner on the patio from Chief Cindy Kelly from 6 to 8 p.m. The show will be from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 each and can be purchased at CristovalVineyards.com. Wildfires burned thousands of acres across Concho Valley, including near Sonora and I-10, by Colin Murphy. Hot, dry weather combined with high winds have allowed multiple wildfires to burn thousands of acres across the Concho Valley in the past few days. Active fires in the region include the Arroyo Grande Fire, burning near Sonora, the 10 Mile Ranch Fire, and the McDaniel Fire, burning northwest of San Angelo. With multiple large fires burning across the state, Texas Forest Service resources are stretched thin, aided by many local volunteer fire departments working around the clock shifts to contain and monitor fire activity. As of 2 p.m. Sunday, June 14th, the Arroyo Grande fire was at 5,300 acres with 65% containment. The McDaniel fire was at 1,000 acres with 5% containment. And the 10 Mile Ranch fire was at 40 acres with containment unknown, according to the Forest Service. Robin Griffith with the Texas A&M Forest Service said the Arroyo Grande fire, which at one point had been producing smoke across Interstate 10, was not causing visibility issues for traffic as of Saturday. "We have 115 resources total on the ground at the moment," Griffith said. "There are 78 firefighters, 6 bulldozers, 24 engines, and 4 aerial assets. The cause is unknown. Interstate 10 is not a concern at this time due to the wind direction. We do have single-engine air tankers dropping retardant on all sides of the fire. We do have a moderate potential for growth. The fire is fairly active." Griffith also had a message for what the public can do to prevent wildfires. "We are going into a drying trend," Griffith said. "We would like people to use caution when dealing with anything that could start a fire, whether it's using a barbecue pit or a campfire. Make sure the area around it is clear. Keep your equipment and vehicles in good working order so nothing produces a spark that could start a fire. Don't park in dry grass. The heat from the car can easily start a fire. If you are pulling anything or hauling a camper or a trailer, make sure the chains are tight so they aren't dragging on the ground. Sparks that come off those chains can start a fire on the side of the road. 9 out of every 10 wildfires are human caused, so do your part and don't let a wildfire start." San Angelo Museum reopens with ceramic competition. Here's What You Should Know by Elena Edgen. After being closed for nearly 3 months due to coronavirus concerns, the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts has reopened its doors with the San Angelo National Ceramics Competition and altered hours, according to a museum news release. On Friday, June 12th, SAMHSA reopened the ceramics exhibit and announced the hours would be reduced. The new hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, and 1 to 4 p.m. Sundays. During those times until September 6th, guests can view the 23rd San Angelo National Ceramic Competition, a juried exhibit featuring ceramics artists from across North America. There are over 100 pieces and an exhibit by Ginger Geyer, an Austin artist. People can also view the ceramics and watch presentation videos at samfa.org. Museum staff are also taking precautions and requiring guests and staff to wear face coverings. People will also need to stay at least 6 feet apart from others. The museum will not host tours or events until further notice. Odessa man wanted in capital murder case arrested in San Angelo by Elena Edgen. An Odessa man charged with capital murder in Odessa was arrested in San Angelo on Monday morning after the Texas Rangers and U.S. Marshals stepped into the investigation. A man suspected in a killing at East 15th Street and North Dixie Boulevard in Odessa on Monday, June 15th, was located and arrested in San Angelo about 1 p.m. Monday, according to a release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. Jonathan Roy Dawkins, 29, was booked into Tom Green County Jail on suspicion of capital murder in Ector County. He remained in jail with no bond listed as of 3:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. The Texas Rangers, San Angelo Police, U.S. Marshals Service Lone Star Fugitive Task Force, and the Odessa Police Department were involved in the arrest, according to the release. Information on the capital murder charge was not available as of 3:15 p.m. Monday. Concho Valley fires cover 9,000 acres and growing. Here's How You Can Prevent More by Elena Edgen. Wildfires are continuing to blaze in and around the Concho Valley on Monday after the weekend left over 9,000 acres scorched, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service. The McDaniel Fire in Coke County, northwest of San Angelo, has grown over 2,000 acres since Sunday and is 30% contained as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. The Forest Service estimated that the fire has burned 3,200 acres since it began Saturday. Volunteer fire departments from Robert Lee, Great Creek, Carlsbad, Quail Valley, Dove Creek, Bront, and East Concho responded to the McDaniel Fire. In Sutton County, the Arroyo Grande Fire near Sonora has been 85% contained and burned an estimated 5,300 acres since it began Thursday, as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. Fire departments from Sonora, El Dorado, and Crockett County responded to this fire. There have been structures threatened in both, said Robin Griffith, Texas A&M Forest Service. As of Sunday in the McDaniel Fire, there were 12 structures threatened, and we did lose a couple. The McDaniel Fire lost two outbuildings, two tractors, a vehicle, and a UTV. No structures have been lost in the Arroyo Grande Fire as of Sunday. Fire departments responding to the Waymire Fire in Reynolds County and the 10 Mile Ranch Fire in Tom Green County contained both fires. The Waymire Fire stretched 1,001 acres, and the 10 Mile Ranch Fire burned 40 acres, according to the Forest Service. The lack of recent rain is partly behind the fire's spread, said Mark Cunningham, North National Weather Service meteorologist. One thing that has kind of helped us is the winds haven't been too strong, he said. How to help? We are asking people to help prevent other fires, Griffith said. Over the weekend, from Friday to Sunday, we responded to 19 fires from West Texas to the Panhandle. With dry conditions likely to continue through the week and a lower rainfall than this time last year, wildfires are a concern, according to the National Weather Service. Basically, you want to prevent any burning you want to do and keep it at a minimum, especially in the afternoon when the winds pick up, Cunningham said. Here are some ways to prevent fires. Avoid parking or idling in grass. Do not throw cigarette butts out the window. Avoid activities that can produce sparks. Make sure the area is clean of vegetation. Keep equipment in good condition. Make sure charcoal is completely out before moving it. Keep a water source or fire extinguisher nearby. Make sure not to cause sparks when doing activities. While pulling or hauling anything, make sure chains are tight. Do not leave a fire unattended. 9 out of every 10 wildfires are human-caused, Griffith said. So do your part and don't let a wildfire start. People can keep track of wildfires by checking incweb.nwcg.gov. Following the Texas A&M Forest Service on Twitter or Facebook, or following Lone Star State Incident Management Team, Texas A&M Forest Service, on Twitter and Facebook. San Angelo Mayor says, "We deserve better internet and cable providers," urges complaints sent to city, by John Tufts. Without naming any businesses directly, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner took aim at the city's internet and cable providers during public comments last week, in which she encouraged residents to write letters to the city with their complaints. Guntner expressed her frustration during a June 2nd city council meeting. "Over the past year, I have received, as well as many of our council members, complaints against the service and quality we are receiving from our primary cable providers," she said. Guntner stated she wanted to make clear the city does not pick or choose what businesses provide San Angelo's internet. Cable providers are private or publicly traded companies who choose to offer cable or other services to the citizens of this city, Guntner said. "That being said, as a community, we must have a cable provider who supports the needs of this community." Guntner stressed the need for reliable internet had become increasingly important amid the coronavirus and encouraged residents to forward their complaints directly to the city. "We cannot have strong economic growth if we don't have reliable connectivity. I'm asking for you, the citizens, to please send us letters about your quality or unreliability or lack of customer service," she said. Guntner asked residents to forward their complaints to Assistant City Manager Michael Dane at 72 West College Avenue, San Angelo, Texas, 76903. "We will collect all these letters and send them to our representatives, as well as the FCC," Guntner said. "We, the city of San Angelo and its citizens, deserve better cable providers, and I am willing to fight hard to get quality, reliability, and better customer service." Despite social media posts circulating on the topic, there is not an in-person meeting planned to address issues with Suddenlink, the city reported Friday afternoon. The city council, which has been meeting virtually since March, will continue the practice through July. Citizens are welcome to send in public comment for city council meetings to our city clerk. "We hope to have a meeting in the future where the public can come in person and share their thoughts regarding concerns with the local cable provider, but a date for that has not been set at this time," a news release states. With hotel occupancy low due to COVID-19, some San Angelo groups face reduced funding, by John Tufts. Three groups promoting entertainment and tourism to San Angelo are facing tens of thousands of dollars in less funding during the next fiscal year after the coronavirus hammered occupancy rates at local hotels. Earlier this month, city council members reviewed a draft budget for the city's Hotel Occupancy Tax, HOT, fund. Money from the fund is distributed to different organizations in San Angelo to help stimulate the local economy. A final budget will be brought before City Council in September. Here's how the decrease in HOT funds might impact the San Angelo organizations. In the 2019-20 fiscal year, total revenue for HOT funds was budgeted at nearly $2.3 million. Revenue is expected to drop by nearly $460,000 to $1.8 million, according to officials. "We cut expenditures everywhere we could," Finance Director Tina Dursky told City Council during a presentation June 2nd. Dursky reported three partner organizations are expected to see a decrease in the distribution of HOT funds from the fiscal year of 2020-2021. Civic Events from $1,008,050 to $925,818. Convention and Visitors Bureau from $975,625 to $765,518. San Angelo Cultural Affairs Council from $112,133 to $75,000. The San Angelo Performing Arts Center, Fort Concho, Downtown San Angelo Incorporated, and Texas Bank Sports Complex will see no change in the amount of funding received. Civic events to see a drop in revenue. What does that mean for San Angelo residents? In the 2019-20 fiscal year, total revenue for HOT funds was budgeted at nearly $2.3 million. Revenue is expected to drop by nearly $460,000 to $1.8 million. Taking expenditures into consideration, the city will have a shortfall of $114,000 to contend with in the next fiscal year. Despite a projected savings balance of $55,000 to offset cuts, the drop in revenue has prompted civic events to scale back. The department will have its revenue cut for next year by more than $183,000, or 11%. About $82,000, or about 8%, is from decreased HOT funds. Revenue from city venues is also expected to drop, in which civic events projected a 20% reduction, a decrease of $101,000, reports state. Civic Events cut their personnel budget by almost $11,000 and operations and maintenance by about $99,000, Dierski said. Officials said this doesn't necessarily mean San Angelo residents will see fewer performances at city venues as a result. Performances, special events, and venue rentals are expected to return to normal in the coming months, according to Dierski, who said cuts to personnel included reduced overtime and part-time expenses associated with the expectation of less rentals and performances. The cuts to the operations budget similarly included the expectations of less cost for things like maintenance and utilities. There should be no impact to San Angelo residents as a result of the decrease in revenue to Civic Events from the Hot Fund, Dierski said. Convention and Visitors Bureau to cut revenue by $247,000. The Convention and Visitors Bureau will cut its revenue next year by 24%, or roughly $247,000. A projected savings of about $200,000 to offset that loss will still lead to about a $47,000 decrease in budget next year, according to officials. Dierski said most San Angelo residents likely won't feel cuts to the Visitors Bureau either. There will be minimal, if any, impact to the residents of San Angelo due to the decrease in revenue from hot funds allocated to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Dierski said. The main areas that were impacted were advertising and marketing. San Angelo Cultural Affairs Council. Less funds could mean less grants. The San Angelo Cultural Affairs Council, is projected to drop in hot funds from $112,133 to $75,000. The council uses its funds almost entirely as a pass-through in the way of grants to local art venues, according to Dierski. The process requires an application which is judged before awards are made. The reduction would likely mean they would have less to allocate, Dierski said. City council members debate giving hot funds to SAMHSA amid shortfall. Despite the overall drop in revenue, the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts, brought in as a new fund recipient this year, is projected to receive $50,000 of hot funds. The issue sparked debate among city council members. Single-member District 3 Councilman Harry Thomas questioned whether now was the right time to take on a new partner to receive hot funds, given the shortfall. "I think the museum does a great job, don't get me wrong," Thomas said. "I believe they probably bring people in and put heads in beds. But as we're looking at shortfalls, I'm just wondering if this is the appropriate time to do this." District 5 Councilman Lane Carter echoed Thomas's concerns. "As much as I love the museum and everything they do, I think this is the wrong time to take on a partner," Carter said. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner disagreed. "In my perspective, one of the greatest things we can do is to create a reason for people to come to San Angelo and stay in the hotels," Guntner said. "If we don't get aggressive about promoting some of our assets, hotel rooms will stay empty." Without citing specific numbers, Guntner said the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts brought in the largest amount of out-of-town visitors to the city, with programs like its In Plain Air and Ceramics Exhibition. Guntner said the city needed to support organizations that stood the greatest chance of putting heads in beds in San Angelo hotels. "If we do nothing, we can be assured that the hotel rooms will remain empty," Guntner said. SAMHSA Director Howard Taylor agreed and took issue with Thomas's earlier comments that the museum probably brings people to San Angelo. "Our story just does not get out there. It's hidden," Taylor said, and estimated the number of people who come to San Angelo because of SAMHSA was around 4,000 heads in beds annually. For comparison, officials with the City Parks and Rec Department said the Texas Bank Sports Complex last year generated an estimated 3,064 overnight bookings at San Angelo hotels. Its conservative economic impact for 2019 was $1,774,280. When you look at the HOT funds, the purpose behind them is the economic well-being of our community, Taylor said. Yes, it's essentially about heads in beds. The more people who came to a community, the more they spent. The hotels benefited, and the city itself benefited overall. Taylor said the museum provided arts programs and activities year-round. The museum has about 4,000 hours of programs we do a year, Taylor said. That's almost 10 times the number of hours of all the other programming that occurs in the arts, and that's significant. Besides its efforts at home, Taylor stated SAMHSA also acted as an ambassador for the community. No other museum in the world has ever had this, an exhibition at the European Union Ambassador's official residence in Washington, D.C., representing San Angelo, Texas. It's unparalleled, Taylor said. The HOT funds are not the hugest part of our budget, but it really makes a significant difference. At the conclusion of Taylor's remarks, City Council took a vote and unanimously approved, 7-0, a draft budget for the Hotel Occupancy Tax Fund, which included $50,000 in funding to SAMHSA. City Council members can revise the HOT Fund's budget when they vote on a final version of the budget later in September. Cristoval ISD creates fundraiser after former substitute teacher dies in murder-suicide, by Elena Edgen. A former Cristoval ISD substitute teacher has died after killing her elderly parents, then herself, in San Antonio, according to KTXS TV 12. Just before 7 a.m. Thursday, June 11th, a woman called the San Antonio police and stated she shot her parents in the 5000 Round Table Drive. Officers heard a gunshot when they arrived and discovered the caller, Lisa Thoreau, 50, had shot herself in the backyard, according to an article by the San Antonio Express News. She died in the hospital. Police found Thoreau's parents, James Browning, 84, and his wife, Elizabeth Browning, 79, dead in the home. They were in failing health, and she was here for the last 10 days taking care of them, McManus said. Police did not detail what was written in a note Thoreau left behind and did not know what led to the double murder and suicide, according to the San Antonio Express News. Thoreau had worked as a substitute teacher for the district beginning December 1, 2016. She last served as a substitute for Cristoval ISD on May 24, 2019, according to the district. She resigned Wednesday for personal reasons, according to KTXS 12. Cristoval ISD responds, creates GoFundMe for a woman's family. David Walker, superintendent of Cristoval ISD, issued a statement on the incident. Although we have limited information at this time, we are deeply saddened to announce the tragic loss of Ms. Lisa Thoreau, a former Cristoval ISD substitute teacher and parent of two Cristoval ISD students, the statement reads. Thoreau was a leader of the district's band booster program, according to the statement. Her contributions to the district will not soon be forgotten, the statement said. Cristoval ISD sends out its deepest condolences to the family of Ms. Thoreau, as well as all those grieving today within the Cristoval ISD family. The district created a GoFundMe page to help the Thoreau family around noon Friday. By 4:37 p.m., the fundraiser, with a goal of $5,000, raised $3,695. New York Times map shows San Angelo as hotspot for COVID-19, by Rosanna Aguilera. Tom Green County was listed as a hotspot for the coronavirus on a New York Times map that tracks the number of COVID-19 cases that are rising and falling in the last 14 days. The map shows counties in colors regarding its positive cases, starting from gray with no cases at all to bright red for the highest level of increase. This is where San Angelo finds itself. 2 weeks ago, the average number of daily cases was 1. The average as of June 16th was 5.6, meaning the positive cases have gone up 460% in the last 2 weeks. The data hadn't even factored in the 20 cases that were reported in San Angelo on Wednesday, June 17th, for a total of 194 cases, with 64 patients being monitored. There were 15 new cases Monday and 10 on Tuesday. San Angelo ISD seeking input from parents on 2021 school year. Here's the survey by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo ISD is seeking input from parents and guardians on the coming school year. As San Angelo ISD prepares for the 2020-2021 school year, we are working hard on planning what learning will look like in the fall, and we want your feedback, according to a news release. SAISD said it will continue to follow guidance from the governor, the Texas Education Agency, TEA, and all local agencies to determine what the learning models will look like. Much of what the district decides to do will be dictated by these governing entities, and we will work within their guidelines to make sure we provide a safe and productive learning environment for our students, the release stated. Parents and guardians can access the survey containing questions concerning the upcoming school year and feedback on our virtual learning platform. Among other things, the survey will ask your opinion on several options for starting school in the fall, including in-person with additional safety and health measures in place, a blend of virtual learning and face-to-face on-campus learning on alternate days, a totally virtual learning environment. The survey will stay open through Friday, June 19th. If you have more than one child enrolled in school, answer these questions about your oldest child. We understand that the direction we take as a district will directly impact the day-to-day lives and livelihoods of families in our community, and we value your feedback on these important decisions, according to the release. Howard College offering 10 free online classes through June 30th by Rosanna Aguilera. Howard College in San Angelo is offering 10 free self-paced online courses if you register before June 30th. The classes include a mix of skills for today's changing job market, according to a Howard College Facebook post. We believe having the right skills and knowing how to utilize them are vital for both job seekers and those who are employed. Here are the 10 courses available for free. Creating web pages. Creating WordPress websites. Fundamentals of supervision and management. 12 steps to a successful job search. Keys to effective communication. Managing customer service. Marketing your business on the internet. Personal finance. Small business marketing on a shoestring. Individual excellence. Courses are normally listed for $95 to $115 each, but are being offered for free if you register any time between now and June 30th, 2020. You can find the classes and register online at Howard College. You will have 3 months to complete the course from the time you are enrolled. Not only can you leverage these courses to enter the workforce or advance your career, we hope you can use this as a professional development opportunity as well, Howard College stated. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.